about, let's make it 2 months ago, rallies to push back against Donald Trump and his policies were organized, took place in a few locations. Most successful had, give or take, about 100 people. There was the White House, GOP, Trump supporters. They laughed these rallies off, thinking they would just fade away. Well, that hasn't worked out that way, has it? We now see a regular series of rallies against Trump nationwide with attendance in the thousands, some cases, growing number of cases, tens of thousands. This Thursday, May 1st, there will once again be rallies coast to coast, including, I do believe, more than likely, exactly where you are, at least close to it. Here with a preview of the next round of rallies that, and with Americans raising their voices in resistance is the Area Director of Communications Workers of America, District 1, New York City, one of the participating organizations. Hey, Lynn Choi, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Learn more about this, and we do have the link on our website, of course, maydaystrong.org. You can find out locations. There's an interactive map. There are a whole lot of information, the hows and whys, more of the organizations that are helping make this series of rallies happen. And hey, Lynn, have you been at any of the rallies previously? Is this going to be your first time to this level of involvement?
No, this is not my first time, and I'm happy to see that, as you mentioned, this has sort of been a growing swell of people taking to the streets, and I think it started earlier in the year when it was clear what this new administration stands for, and as soon as it was clear, there's a massive power grab happening in Washington. And so I think we saw some early mobilization in February and March around President's Day and when the federal budget that outlined trillions and trillions of dollars in tax breaks to the rich and wealthy. And then, of course, April 5th, we saw probably to this point the largest mobilization in the country with millions of people. And not only in places like New York and Los Angeles and Chicago, where you would expect it, but in deep red areas of the country, people took to the streets. I don't even know the final number of rallies, but it was thousands of rallies were registered all across the country. And so we're hoping to continue this really growing level of people taking to the streets, saying enough is enough, back off, hands off our rights, hands off our democracy. We're here to protect our people.
I've noticed, too, and is this going to be, do you believe will hold true with the rallies that are happening on May 1st? It's not just for a single specific cause that people are pushing back and resisting. There are a variety of reasons because, well, if you just look at the news on a daily basis, this administration has done a variety of attacks on people's, name it from civil rights to program funding to many points in between.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Chris, I think the thing that makes May Day special is that traditionally it's been a day that's been celebrated all around the world, known as International Workers' Rights Day. It actually started in America in 1886 in Chicago and comes from the fight for the eight-hour workday. And over the years, it's been more adapted by immigrant rights community. In 2006, I believe, we saw a really, really large mobilization that was dubbed Day Without an Immigrant, sort of adopting May Day since it's become a global day of not only fighting for workers' rights, but also celebrating worker power. And I think what we see more and more is that all these fights are connected, right? That they're coming after worker, they're coming after workers' rights, they're coming after immigrant rights workers. And so in the overall context of there's many, many things that people are upset about, but also this is a day that started as a day to really lift up the fight for workers' rights. We think this is that makes May Day special in that sense that it's an opportunity to highlight the attack on workers a little bit more, but it's also in the context to show that jobs are at risk, rights are at risk, but also our voice in the workplace, but also voice in the country, right? Free speech rights are under attack. And so to really show the connection of all these fights.
Well, I think that's what the elite few were counting on, that the American voice would maybe say what, but then fall silent. As I said in the intro, it's gone the complete opposite way. It keeps getting louder and louder and louder with every push forward that we the people are making.
Yeah, and it's so important. And I think one of the things we're trying to get across more and more is this administration is conducting an overreach and claiming powers that they don't have. And I think we would all agree that free speech rights, just cause, due process are some of the most fundamental rights that we have in this country. That makes America different from, you know, banana republic dictatorships all across the world, that we have a right to free speech. It's the most important right that we have that is so under attack right now. And we cannot give up on this fight, right? We would have never gotten anything accomplished in this country if we wouldn't respect that we can have opinions that disagree and we come to a consensus. But what we're seeing right now is such a flagrant disrespect for free speech and due process. And I don't want to say constitutional crisis because at this point it's been overused and doesn't mean all that much anymore. But I think if we're thinking this through, what happens if we live in a country where people are afraid to say what they think? Because someone in power will disappear you, will send you to some other country where you can't even say that this was a mistake and you're not the person they're looking for, then we're landing in really, really dark territory. So I think that's why it's important that we are on the streets, that we are saying enough is enough, and that we keep defending our rights to free speech.
With Halen Joy, who is the Area Director of the Communications Workers of America, District 1 in New York City. They're one of the participating organizations. And it's coming May 1st, rallies to push back against the Trump policies and administration. Find out more. And the locations nationwide, if you're listening on the stream, it's not just in the New York City, New Jersey area, maydaystrong.org. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. And the point you just made, Halen, is it's not just the individual person who is feeling threatened to go silent. It's major organization. I mean, we see an iconic truth-telling program like 60 Minutes on CBS now being targeted, and some are saying now they're starting to capitulate and falling, not totally silent, because obviously their business is talking, but they're going to be more selective in what they address now, apparently.
Concerning, but I am encouraged and hopeful to see that more and more institutions are fighting back. I think in the beginning, when we saw prominent law firms targeted and they started to cave and sort of obey in advance, and then all the universities and institutions not really defending academic freedom, I think that was very, very concerning. And I think this goes back to the point of let's not give them power they don't have. And if we are afraid and obey in advance, then it's confirming the power grab, right? But now I think we see more and more institutions fighting back, taking a stand and challenge this. And I think this is the way to go, and it's very encouraging. I do understand very well the risk that organizations are taking, right? And the risk is real, and the administration has the power to cut off funding, to limit all kinds of rights and powers these institutions have. And I think, you know, they're trying to cut off a lot of media outlets off the air, right? I think I do understand the risk very well, but I don't think that caving is going to bring any solution. I think it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. So I do feel very encouraged about institutions standing up and fighting back.
I want to wrap up with this very important idea, at least I believe so, because you're obviously, as you're saying here, and the purpose of what's happening on May 1st, encouraging people to stand up and shout out their objections, their fears, their disgust, and whatever else qualifies as what they're feeling right now. But equally important, Halen, is the fact that your organization is making it very important for everyone involved to remember, no violence. Because that takes away from the message.
Absolutely, 100%. That is so important. All the folks that we've been part of and helped organize in the past always stress the principle of nonviolence. Because, again, it doesn't, we're really interested in getting on the right track, finding a solution for our country. What's happening right now is not it, and violence is not going to be it either. And I think the main point that we want to get across is that that's the motto for May Day Strong this year, is we are the many, they are the few. We have more power than they do. We have to take it. We have to defend it. And we're going to stand together and fight back against the billionaire takeover.
Find out more at maydaystrong.org. We've been talking with the Area Director of the Communications Workers of America, District 1, New York City. They're one of the participating organizations in the May Day rallies happening on Thursday, May 1st. Hey, Lynn Choi, thank you so much for helping us realize our empowerment, how we can only keep it and use it or surrender it. There's no in-between, and certainly surrender is, as they say in so many countless movies, surrender is not an option. Thank you for alerting us, encouraging us. Thank you for being here today.
I couldn't have said it any better. Thank you so much for having me.